In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We are Dukes and Bell on a Tuesday special edition live from Falcons headquarters. It is Mike Bell with Mike Johnson. Yes, it's the other Mike and Mike. Truth be told, we're the guys, the Mike and Mike you'd want to have beer with. I mean, Golic's okay. The other one's kind of a tool. Anyway, Day-Day's pushing the buttons. I mean, pressing the making the show happen. Orange back of the rest, pressing the buttons, and you know where you are. We start every hour of every show with a big hearty. Hey, man. You having fun, by the way?
That's the first time I've ever gotten a chance to do that. I hear it all the time.
I know.
Glad that I got included in the crew. Having a great time, man. It's always listen to you guys. Obviously, even before, I was working with you guys, and it's been a lot of fun, man. So hopefully everybody out there listening is enjoying it as well.
Right on. We're getting some good stuff from the guy that knows all about the stuff in the line and everything else that's supposed to happen. We talked to Arch earlier. Great conversation. We're going to replay for that for you tomorrow. Mike and I will be on. We're going to take a jump downstairs. We have our Christmas party tomorrow, but you'll hear the conversation with Arch. If you miss Raheem, you'll hear that. And for Falcon fans in their cars, one of our favorite guests, Matthew Bergeron. You talk line with that guy coming up about, 5:30-ish. He's the player guest today as everything gets amped up and ramped up for the Thursday night game against the Bucks. Sure doesn't sound like Drake London's going to be playing, though, and that's a shame because he stirs the drink.
There's no doubt, and I think anytime you look at a guy like Drake London, we've seen what it looks like without him over the the last couple of games. It's not very good. But when he is in the lineup and the ball is thrown to him, Dave Archer says it all the time on the broadcast, the guy's never covered. Even if he is covered, you can throw the ball to him, and he's probably going to get his mitts on it. So unfortunate if that's the case.
Where do you go with the special teams? I know Coach talked about it with us in the interview, addressed it with the media on Monday. No one's getting fired going into week 15, but it's just – and we asked him in the interview, can you put the starters in? How do you find it? And it's interesting, and I said it to you earlier, it's something that with good football teams are obviously complete in all three areas, but special teams is generally the fire-breathing guys who always bring that extra effort because that's how they keep their jobs in the NFL.
For sure. We used to have a bunch of those guys back playing when I was playing, and I brought up Anton Smith earlier.
Keith Armstrong was a coach.
I mean, and Keith Armstrong, my favorite Keith Armstrong story is the one I tell all the time where he would walk in on day one and he would ask rookies to stand up and he'd go, hey, buddy, what position you play? And they'd go, I play wide receiver. And he'd say, sit down. No, you don't. You play L3. You're a PP on the punt team. You don't play the wide receiver. Julio Jones plays wide receiver. Roddy White plays wide receiver. You play L3. You play gunner. You play – that's what you play. Sit down. If you want to make money, that's what you're going to play this year for me. So, and you're right. I mean, you look at a guy like Felipe Franks. He's starting to put together a career. You rarely see him on offense. Maybe a quarterback sneak here and there. Putting together a nice career as a special teams player. And he plays with that edge, right? We've seen a couple of unsportsmanlikes in his corner. Josh Woods has had a nice edge to him. D'Angelo Malone we've seen over the last couple of years. We have seen Kadarius Hodge at times do that as well. But you need more of those guys, and you need them to play with their hair on fire and get off blocks and do everything that you're known to do in the NFL when you're flying down and covering a kick.
I had a guy hit me up on the text line earlier because you keep mentioning the pensions. If I didn't explain it, in the NFL, was it 3 years, 3 months? I
forget something like that. It's like it's just over 3 1/4
right.
of seasons.
3 years.
So I don't know how to change them into 17 games.
But the point I was getting is for guys who are trying to hang on to an NFL career, getting to that benchmark, now you're set, for the most part. You know? And that's why it's always curious when you see – it's just an area that generally you always figure it's going to take care of itself. And this year it hasn't. And that's why we get back to Marquise Williams, unfortunately.
And I don't mind opening things up, Mike, to talk about myself in this realm, because I was the guy that wanted to get a pension. And, you know, at no point in my career was I some kind of stalwart or Pro Bowl player. But getting to pension allows you in your second life, whenever you're done with football, to find a job that you actually want. Right. If you don't get a pension, all of a sudden you're getting into a career path where you're looking at going, man, I need to really get the 401k rolling. I need to do this. I got vested in the NFL. I was able to get my 5 years. I have my 401k, my pension plan rolling, and I could bounce around and figure out a career path that I actually wanted to be a part of. And thank God it just so happened to land here at 92.9 The Game. But that's what you're working towards if you're a special teams player. Maybe you're not going to be, you know, for Felipe Franks, you're not going to be a 1,000-yard a year tight end, maybe, but you can make hay on a special teams unit, and you know, if you show the ability to have some athleticism and play some toughness.
You know, Bernie Parmalee is one of my favorite stories back in the old days with the Dolphins. Talking about, again, guys working for UPS, you know, and gets a shot, turns into a 9-year career in the NFL, starting with special teams, and then kind of becoming like a third down back.
Good so pension plan at UPS too, by the way.
Yes, what can Brown do for you? But that's why when we start, that's for guys who weren't catching my drift. Generally, it's something, you know, you take pride in, and so when it goes off the rails continuously, it's kind of a red flag, and that's where I get back to when I asked Coach Raw last week, you know, and talking to Arthur Blank this week, he's not going to throw his guys under the bus. That's why when we talk about fair or unfair, coaches get fired all the time in all major sports because the buck stops with them, and this has continuously been an area, and if Raheem is back next year, and I don't think that's going to be the case, I can't imagine Marquise Williams will be back. Yeah. Hopefully, and again, we don't wish ill will, but it is what it is.
Well, and I think that And we brought this up during the podcast today, during the – what do you guys call the podcast?
It's Behind the Curtain Twitch and YouTube.
Okay, so we were doing that today. And I think that Oren brought this up, and I wanted to make this point again, is it's like, hey, you know, these meetings, does Raheem go in on Monday morning and say, hey, you know, this is your guy again. This guy's messing up again. It's your guy again. Is there an accountability factor? And my point was is that Raheem, especially during special teams, what do you think Raheem's watching during the week buildup? So he's listened to Marquise talk to these guys, hey, you got to get off this block. Hey, you got to have better, you know, lane integrity when you're flying down on a kick. Hey, you got to make sure you engage and finish this block. So that conversation's already been had. You don't have to afterwards Monday go to Marquise and go, oh, well, you know, hey, that's your guy again. You know the conversation's been had. You know how Marquise is coaching it. You know whether or not it's been coached the right way. And you know if the guy doing it is capable of doing their job. The problem, Mike, is that we've gotten to a point where when you coach special teams, you go into the beginning of the year and you pick out the best 11 for that special teams. It's like, hey, I need guys that can cover a kick. Here's this athlete. Here's that athlete. And you go in and say, who's available? You know, guys like DeMarco Hellums or whatever else it may be. And you pick out the best 11. Well, when those guys don't work out, where do you turn to? You know what I mean? And you mentioned this earlier. Do you try to pluck a starter? Xavier Watts has been playing more. We've seen Jalen Walker do it. Or do you add somebody on the back end? You bring Devin Tompkins up,
practice squad,
things like that. So there's really not a lot of answers in real time. You just have to continue to roll through it and find guys that can go out there and try to do it. And that's the situation they found themselves in right here, four games left.
It's the 5 o'clock hour on Dukes of Bell with Mike Johnson and for Carl today. It's brought to you by Jim Ellis Kia at Town Center, Kennesaw. Yeah, we're going to talk to Matthew Bergeron. We'll talk about, you know, maybe we'll talk racing and Formula One and food with him. Maybe we'll get around to football later in the conversation. He's going to join us later this hour. Also want to pick your brains on the college football playoff and where things are going, because we found some news today. If you missed it, we'll reset. I think it's a bad, bad idea for college football. And of all people, Utah is putting their toe in the water with private equity. We'll explain. Getting back to the Falcons, no Drake London. That's tough. We need Kyle Pitts to step up. Zach Robinson spoke with the media today down the hall. He says that Kyle Pitts has made, air quotes, huge strides from last season and become our number one guy that we're targeting. It hasn't translated to touchdowns. I asked Archer about that earlier. He was supposed to be the red zone unicorn. That's what I thought he was brought here to be. And I can't imagine him with some of the contracts we have to deal with, pay Bijan, pay Drake. That becomes a luxury item. We'll have to go get a veteran or go to the draft. Kyle Pitts next year, somebody will have that. I use the analogy, I can fix him, like the girlfriend.
For sure.
Because first-rounders always get that second shelf life.
Absolutely.
Does he just need another – does he need a kick in the ass? Does he need another setting? What does Kyle Pitts need? Because it's good to hear that from Zach. It's a little too late.
Yeah, I've been hard on Zach. I've been hard on Kyle Pitts, and I think for good reason. And the truth of the matter is, Kyle Pitts in this offense is a big, slow wide receiver. I'm just going to throw it out there. That's exactly what he is in this offense. He's not – I mean, you look at – you know, what's the Indianapolis Colts guy from Penn State? Tyler Warren?
Right.
That's a tight end. To me, you know, Kittle – Those guys can step up and block at the line of scrimmage. Kyle Pitts is not that guy. So then all of a sudden you start splitting them out and you go 12 personnel and you put Charlie Warner on the field and you attach Charlie Warner to the line of scrimmage. Kyle Pitts is just a big wide receiver. Right. And so we just talked about Drake London, did we not? The guy's never covered. Guy can catch. He's the best 50-50 guy in the league. He's going to go up over the top of DBs. As good as Kyle Pitts has been without Drake London in the lineup, when you look at his stats, do you feel that way about him? I don't. I don't look at Kyle Pitts and say, oh, he's going to make the contested catch. He's going to go up over the top of somebody and get it. It's just, and I think that's what's led to the red zone numbers being the way they have throughout his career. It's just, hey, he's good. If you can catch him in stride, stiff arm somebody, play with physicality, can't block at the line of scrimmage, and is not going to make contested catches.
And that's why last year, and I brought this up, it was, I think it was the night of the Commanders game, and ironically, of course, a really clutch touchdown in traffic. Penix threw a laser in that game, and it was Rodney Harrison on the pregame going, I'll never understand how a guy that athletic and that big plays so soft.
Yeah.
To your point. And you can't get the separation. Use some physicality. There's techniques for that. You know, you can get away with. And, you know, you already touched on the, give me some contested balls. Not everything's going to be right there in your hands.
No,
you've got to make,
and
I call it, NFL catch, a pro catch.
Well,
You didn't bring that to you consistently.
And the thing is, Mike, and I've talked about this a little bit on the morning shift, and I would go back. I could go back and show you a play from last week against the Jeff. The offensive line, the five was the offensive line, blocked a play perfectly. I'm talking about Bijan hitting his head on a goalpost. But from the backside, Kyle Pitts can't get the cutoff block, and the guy tackles Bijan for like a three-yard gain. And that's the frustrating part is people look at him, and they look at Zach Robinson, and they say, how can you not use this unicorn of a tight end? Well, if you have to scheme up ways to get him open, is he really a unicorn?
You've ceased to be what you were drafted fourth overall to be.
If you're a fourth overall guy, I'm sorry, but I shouldn't have to scheme up plays to get you the ball early in the game to keep you locked in. It's just not how it should work.
Right, and then the other side is the depth at wide receiver. You know, Darnell Mooney, it all started with the injury. But here's the thing. We're into December. I mean, enough with behind schedule. He is what he is.
Exactly.
He is an inconsistent player. That's what he was in Chicago. He couldn't stay on the field in Chicago. He can be a 1,000-yard receiver. He was on the cusp. But why wasn't he a 1,000-yard receiver? He got knocked out of the last game, next to the last game. Mooney is one of the guys, like Pitts, that is just so exasperating.
Yeah.
You got a touchdown. You ran out of bounds. And I know you said you thought it was a ticky-tack call. The ref, Arch, brought up the fact that they didn't see there was contact. He was forced out of bounds by the defender, which allows you to come back in. Refs didn't see it that way. But it's just another example of when things are the Falcons' way in 25, it doesn't go your way, and six comes off the board.
There's no doubt about it, and I look at Darnell Mooney, and he's another one. I think that he has some ability, but I think you also probably have to scheme him open. Crossing routes, mesh concepts.
So fast.
Man coverage beaters, things like that. You have to kind of get that, and he's not the kind of guy I don't think that's going to get a ton of separation. And he's very slight. I don't know what the weight is for Darnell Mooney right now. I don't think it's what it was last year. Maybe the injury played a point in that. But
carrying less weight for the knees or the shoulder.
He looks very slight is the way I'm going to put it, maybe that's had an effect on him throughout this year.
Mark Grimondi was tweeting out earlier, and I missed the Zach press conference, but he said that he was asked about third down efficiency or inefficiency in our case. 1-for-13 in the loss Sunday against Seattle. And Zach says with the Rams, he used to be in charge of third down in Sean McVay's offense, and he says that that's what has made this season so frustrating.
Well, you know what's funny about this too, Mike, is I go back, and you don't ever worry about anything in preseason, right? Like, and for the last couple of years, we've never worried about preseason. I know you guys have had a ton of conversation on this show, whether or not the quarterback should play in preseason, should Kirk play, should Michael Penix play. But the one thing I've always taken away from preseason is I've looked at the numbers of the last couple of years, and there was just straight-up games during the preseason where it's like 0-for-11 on third down. And I'm like, I understand it's Easton Stick. I understand it's Taylor Heinicke.
But
at what point do we get concerned that they're 1-for-12 on third down in every preseason game over the last couple of years? Something with the scheme actually might be a little bit off. And that's been something that both years, both this year and last year, has continued on into the regular season.
Look, Dan had us this close to the Super Bowl, but that's Dan Quinn's coaching tree in a sense. Raheem was here with Dan. Dan didn't want to put – remember, we lost every preseason game for 2 years with the Falcons.
Yeah, at
one point. And I said it once they moved Zach down after the debacle in Carolina this week. Why don't you use the preseason to see if the sideline is the right place to work with your rookie quarterback and have your rookie quarterback? Everything Mike just said. This goes back to, if I'm Arthur Blank, guys, it's not just the individual players who are not doing their jobs. This thing is systemically dysfunctional, and it gets us back to how you approached your business in August.
It's
everything you just touched on.
It's a Frankenstein football team right now that's pieced together with a lot of different parts. There's a whole conversation going on about Dan Quinn around the NFL as well because of the way this season's going for him. So a lot left to get to for sure.
Hey, man, we'll talk to Matthew Bergeron. Before he jumps in, we'll talk some college football. It's part of our Strong Arm story with, again, Mike, why do we say it? Coach even asked. Johnson, because it's funny to say it that way. Hey, man, we're live. Live in Flower. Hey, by the way, Thursday we're hitting the bricks. Join me. I think it's Abe is with me. So you won't need to adjust your volume. It'll be nice and loud. We'll be at Gustin's in Ackworth, brought to you by Miller Lite, along with all the pregame discussion. I will spend more time in traffic than I will on the air, but it will be a powerful 2 hours on Thursday with Miller Lite. That's all at Gustin's in Ackworth. Dukes and Bell with Abe, 2 to 4 right here on the game. We'll come back. You'll hear from our lineman, Bergeron.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Yeah, man, we're going to talk to Matthew Bergeron from Syracuse, and we have to get him to cut a bigger check to the Orange Man, apparently.
So what it is,
yeah. We were just joking around. I love what you said on that radio interview. Mike Johnson is in today for Carl Dukes on Dukes and Bell, and we'll talk some college football and get his take on what happened in the SEC Championship as Bama really did get manhandled. But, yeah, we were just talking about NIL and all this stuff. Gordon was just mentioning our engineer, how Troy Aikman was in his bag because cut a big check to either was it Oklahoma or UCLA. At UCLA, and then apparently the kid transferred out and never said thank you. Like, it's 2025, Troy. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You think anybody get that
from how you think it is
for an 18-year-old?
They don't even know who Troy Aikman is. Right. You know what I mean? A lot of those kids are like, "Who the hell's Troy Aikman?"
Right, but I mean, it's funny. I'll let you tell the story.
Well, I was doing an interview for a group over in Birmingham, and they kind of asked me. They were like, "Hey, we're kind of polling people. We have like former players on here. Like, are you willing to give to the fund, the NIL fund?" And I was like, "Hell no! What are you talking about? I'm going to help pay players to do something I used to do for free? Are you kidding me? I'm not committing any money to that. They can figure it out. They're a billion-dollar a year business for all I'm concerned, Alabama football. So I think they'll be fine without my money going in there. I don't think that's going to be something that I'm going to contribute to. And there was some Bama fans that had a problem with that. And I get it. Hey, we're all alumni. We all give back to where we came from, but not me, man. Like, I'm good on that. Like, that's not going to happen. I'm solid.
Guy, this is the Troy Aikman quote. Gordon just gave it to me. I've done it one time at UCLA. I wrote a sizable check, and he went to another school. I didn't even get so much as a thank you note. Yes, I was going to say, I mean, again, it's 2025, Troy. I don't think you're going to get that level of appreciation from the youth. You might. Yeah, man, we're talking earlier, just real quick, speaking of college football and money, it's already started. The Big Ten was having a flirtation with, I think it was the California University Pension Fund, and they didn't end up doing the deal. I think Michigan was fighting it, and it turned out that Utah has done a private equity deal to basically have a team now owned by private equity and investing in it, which I think is kind of a slippery slope.
Terrifying is what
it
is.
Yeah, it's not where it's supposed to be, man. But it's just, if you want your old college football back, that toothpaste don't go back in the tube, man. I don't know how much Matthew would have gotten in NIL. I mean, what'd you get at Syracuse? You get any coin? You get a car? What'd you get?
I didn't get nothing. I just loved the game. That's all I got.
There it is. See what I'm talking about?
Love the game and friendships. That's
now,
all I got from
college.
Let's
bring him in on this conversation because I went to Alabama and I've had people ask me, will you pay back into the NIL fund? I'm like, hell no. I did that for free. I don't need to pay anybody else to do the exact same thing I used to do. Now, I don't want to speak for you.
No, no.
But just by the look on your face, I can kind of guess what you maybe feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for NIL. I'm all for the guys getting what they deserve.
Sure.
Obviously, it changed the landscape of college football. I'm grateful for my experience in college without NIL, and I feel like it was more about, you know, the actual friendships, the actual, you know, love of the game and stuff like that. But, you know, everybody get it how they get it, and I respect it.
Yeah.
Matthew Bergeron is with us, guys. Doing a great job as well. How you feeling? You healthy? I know you've been, like everybody else, banged up on this stage. How you feeling?
I mean, I'm feeling good. You know, came back from an injury a few weeks ago, and I've been feeling good. And, you know, just trying to get through the end of the season healthy. I think that's the most important part right now. And, you know, just trying to get back and try and win some games these last four weeks.
Yeah, first of all, I got a million questions. I want to talk about the offense coming up here in a minute. But I haven't talked to you in a couple of years back to when you were a rookie. I had a chance to catch up with you.
And
I asked you how you were doing adjusting to the heat in the South. It was like during training camp. Obviously, you're
it was tough.
Obviously,
man.
You're from. I was gonna say the look on your face that day was like, I'm not adjusting at all. What are you talking about? My gloves are soaked, and I take two pair of cleats to practice every day. But just talk about kind of, you know, how you feel being a veteran presence now. I can see the way you play with a chip on your shoulder. You play with an attitude, and I can tell you're fully like invested into this life as an Atlanta Falcon.
Right. You know, I mean, I just, first of all, on a football standpoint, obviously being a veteran in this room, you know, it took a lot of growth, you know, for me to get there. And obviously the leadership from Chris and Jake and, you know, Coach Ledford just getting me to where I'm at right now. And there's obviously a lot of room for me to grow, but I feel like I'm very happy where I'm at right now and, you know, kind of my process in these last 3 years. And obviously the goal every year is to get better. And I feel like I'm on that trend and I can keep that trend going. And as far as like off the field, just adjusting to the life in the South and Atlanta, you know, I embrace Atlanta. I'm a big Hawks fan.
Right.
Jalen Johnson, I think his own pays for, you know, all-star appearance. I'm ruling for MVP at this point.
Let's go. Like, right. Let's go. We all
hoping.
Are.
And, you know, I've never been into baseball until I got to Atlanta. And, you know, I've been going to a few of the Braves games and stuff like that. So it's been great. You know, I just love the city of Atlanta as far as the food, the people. And I just love it. It's kind of, you know, I'm from Canada, so I feel like Atlanta kind of adopted me in a certain way.
We just love your energy and, you know, a little swagger and attitude, not to blow smoke, but we've always had fun talking to you.
Yeah.
And that's right. Expos were long gone when you were a kid up there in Quebec.
Never really watched baseball, but I love going down to the Battery. Love going down to the Truist Park, and it's just great. It's just a great atmosphere, and you know we're always down there, so it's just great.
And we had high hopes for the playoffs, so we can totally talk more Hawks right now with you, Matthew.
Yeah, I mean,
how do you feel now? The key is for me is how does Quinn Snyder get Trey in sync in the half court with all the good things that are happening in his absence?
There's a lot of talks about the fans saying where do you know Trey fit in? I feel like. If we know we're at a great spot right now, well, Trey can only make us better. You know, obviously on defense, it might be some struggles, you know, with Trey based off his height and, you know, his limitation, you know, on defense. But I feel like, you know, you can overcompensate with the height of Porzingis, you know, down there. And, hopefully they can make it happen. But I'm definitely rooting for him. I've been going to a lot of the games and, yeah.
Look at this guy, Mike. I mean, this guy might be taking our job.
Yeah. It's not ESPN. It's TSN.
It's TSN in Canada.
Oh, man. Look, we'll get into more Hawks in a minute. Maybe some
Formula One.
We'll get into all this stuff.
Fix my New York Rangers.
I do want to talk about the Falcons. I don't know if you caught this comment. There was somebody asked Kirk Cousins a question today about does somebody need to throw a chair across the locker room after a win like that? You know, who's bringing the attitude in these situations? I think that we have always kind of looked at you. You're the guy, you know, the first guy down the field helping Bijan off the ground.
Yeah.
Drake London obviously has that edge, but without him in the lineup, you seem to be the tone setter. Mm-hmm. Do you take pride in that? Is that something you've always done at all levels of football? And how have you kind of developed that role inside of this locker room?
I just feel like I always played with a chip on my shoulder. Like I said, we talked earlier, you know, me being from Canada, only having one offer, kind of just showed up one day at a camp and just got an offer from Syracuse. So I always played with that chip on my shoulder, trying to, you know, prove myself. And I feel like I'm still doing it. And I feel like the day I'm a stop playing that way is the day I'm going to retire. And, you know, hopefully I can keep, you know, going. But there's obviously guys in the locker room, like, you know, guys like Tyler, guys like Drake, who they just have that edge, whether, you know, we're up by 30, we're down by 30, they're going to play the same way. And, you know, when I came here, those were the guys I looked up, you know, I looked up to. And hopefully one day, you know, the younger guys can look up to me in that same way.
Absolutely.
That makes sense.
Well, it's just tough. We said earlier, as Matthew Bergeron's live inside the Ticketmaster Studios here on 92.9, it's a little bit of human nature. I mean, you know, you might be doing your job. Sometimes it's just, here we go again. You know, it's how do you maintain that intensity?
I mean, you have to. And the guys in the locker room have to be, you know, the leadership has to be the tone setter, like you said. Like, you know, we might be out of playoffs, but, you know, we got to keep fighting. And, you know, at this point, you know, we're playing for pride and just we're playing for each other as well. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to go out there and let, you know, Chris and Jake, you know, Chris and AJ never been to the postseason. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm going to try and fight for those guys and trying to get them, you know, get those guys to that level at one day. But it starts right now, and it starts by, you know, playing hard and, you know, playing every snap like here's your last.
Well, let's dive into a little bit more X's and O's. And obviously a lot's made about the run game, wide zone scheme. You fit in perfectly with what, you know, Coach Ledford wants to do here and what Lindstrom has done before you, and climbing to the second level, the communication with Jake, it's all been great. I have noticed a couple of times, and this was brought up to Lindstrom last week when he was sitting here, there's been a little bit more gap scheme. It seems like a couple of counter plays where Chris Lindstrom's pulling. Yeah. Are you comfortable as a puller? Is it something you enjoy? And what have you made of some of these small nuance and changes in the offense over the last few weeks?
Obviously, you have to adjust, but, you know, I love pulling. Yeah. I think it's great. And like I said, you got to have that edge when you come out and pull, because they're going to meet you.
Mean business. He goes around there meaning business.
Right. Right. And then they're going to meet you with that intent of ascend the edge, you know what I mean? So, you know, I've loved it. And like you said, you know, we talk about baseball earlier, like you got to have your switch up, you know what I mean? Like you have your reliable runs, like which is the wide zone, but you got to be able to come out and throw some difference, something different, you know, to keep them honest.
The Buccaneers, and we had some great, because last year was two of the most entertaining games of all time.
Oh,
the comeback on Thursday night, I thought the most complete game last season was the game
down in Tampa,
which was something. And so it's a little more juice with a division rival, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, fans go, whatever, but there's a little more juice with something like this.
NFC South, man, like every game in the NFC South is, you know, juiced up. You know, the guys are talking, you know, we've played each other for a long, you know, we've played against each other for a long time. They know us, we know them. It's who can do their job at the highest level, and it's going to be a dogfight.
How do you feel about playing outdoors? You know, you're a guy, obviously, Syracuse guy, indoors. You come down here, Mercedes-Benz, great facility.
No doubt.
But it is different when you play outside. Tampa's one of those places you get that opportunity.
Oh, muddy.
Even this year going up to Minnesota, right. Some of the other things. I always thought it was fun. It reminded me of backyard football when you go from playing in the dome to playing outside. You have that opportunity again this weekend.
I actually love playing on grass.
Yeah.
I think it's smoother, you know, when you kick step. Like, you just slide better.
Great
point.
You just glide out there.
So I love playing in grass, and I actually love playing in Tampa. Like, the atmosphere is always great. And, you know, we're going to have the throwback uniforms. They're going to have the
Creamsicle, Bucking the Bruce.
I feel like it's just like a classic, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's a Thursday night classic, and it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be physical. So I think it's definitely a game I look forward to.
All right, before we get out of here, he likes NASCAR. We like NASCAR too, but
I've started watching NASCAR.
Gotta dabble.
I went to Homestead.
Nice.
April or May for the first time, my first NASCAR race. It was incredible. And then I went to Atlanta where they came down here, and it was great. It was great.
Yeah, I think we saw him. We were talking about being on pit. There was a Bergeron sighting on pit road.
Yeah.
We heard you around. But real quick, because we're big F1 guys, and you were down there in Miami.
Yeah.
What do you think of Lando Norris, a guy with a Star Wars character name, winning the championship? My boy Piastri, I thought they did him dirty at McLaren. Listen, but anyway, what do you think of how the championship played?
I'm a Red Bull fan ever since I came into Formula
Max
One.
I'm a Max
Verstappen fan, and, you know, it was obviously a heartbreaking situation, but I feel like Max won the heart of the fans of the F1
Check fan. That out.
I feel like he was the villain in the past, you know, with the whole situation with Lewis, but I feel like he won the heart of the Formula One fans. So it was a title to sacrifice for the heart of the fans, but I do think, you know, Lando, you know, he drove great. They had a great car all year, all around. They were the most complete team all around, but I feel like Red Bull did, you know, make a great push in the second half of the season. But like I was telling Chris earlier, like every point mattered in Formula One. I feel like early in the season, Max thought it was over a little too quick, so he threw away some of the points.
And he don't get support from his teammate, unfortunately.
No doubt. Yeah.
You know, it's a team sport.
That's tough. It is tough. So,
That's a great point. What he just, for the guys who don't follow F1, Max beats Lewis in a very controversial race 4 years ago, goes on to win four in a row. I'm with you. I found myself rooting for Max down the stretch,
right? Yeah,
because it was like, wow. Yeah, and now next year he gets a new partner. We'll see what Hadrick can do.
He said he's a Red Bull fan. Look, I'm a big I've actually – my allegiance to NASCAR, Shane Van Gisbergen, so he's a Red Bull guy on the NASCAR side of things. We're – Look, there's room on the bandwagon.
Team.
Right, I was going to say, there's room on the bandwagon if you want to jump in.
Just for Black Jingles next year, I love getting on the ground floor. We're going to try to get Valtteri Bottas because I'm going to jump on Cadillac next year as a newbie. I know they're going to stink.
They're American team.
Right, America, baby.
Got to. Homegrown. Yeah. I love it, man.
Well, hey, man, before we leave, have a joyous Noël.
Yes, sir. Hey, merci beaucoup.
Mon ami. See, I know we work some French in there. That's our guy, man. Thanks again. We always love catching up with you, and best of luck down the stretch.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys. Have a good day.
That's our guy, man. Matthew Bergeron.
See the stuff, man.
Two linemen talking, hashing it out there, right there, man. Appreciate you, brother. Cheers.
Good stuff.
We'll come back, guys. We'll wrap things up. And more on college football. I want to get your take on what's Bama going to do against a rematch with Oklahoma. I don't know if that's exactly a good, such a good thing for you guys.
We'll see.
This hour of the show brought to you by Jim Ellis Kia at Town Center, Kennesaw, live from the Ticketmaster Studios at the Branch. It's Johnson and Bell.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Big stories today. The one we mentioned, I know it's kind of an esoteric argument, especially if you didn't take Econ 101. Lord knows I didn't. Talking about Utah.
I don't even know what you're talking about right
private
now.
Private equity.
Oh, okay, there you go.
College football.
I went to Bama, dude. Come on.
I lasted a semester and a half at Florida State. But no, as far as that Utah thing, it's something that big programs have flirted with, and Utah becomes the first one where, in other words, you've got businessmen running your football program.
Yeah, look,
the best way to break it down in the simplest form, you've got guys that use analytics and will now say, and sometimes maybe if it was Florida State did that, they would have fired Mike Norvell a year ago.
It will go from boosters running the show to guys who have investment.
Correct.
The show. I mean, it's just it's
that you're swapping one for.
And if they don't like the offense, if they don't like something, you know, the good news is Wall Street doesn't monkey around. The defective piece gets got. But what happens if they get it wrong? You know, and
well,
now
I was
going
to say Wall Street doesn't know much about football either, so it's going to be hard
right,
for them to kind of
because
make
we've
that
got what 32 in. NFL owners, and these guys are tremendously successful, and some of these guys don't have their elbow from another body part.
You know what I hear? Good time to be in a search firm.
You ain't lying, brother.
Dude, they're going to be hired right and left with these things going on.
Hey, man, we were talking about it earlier in the show about where we are with the pieces that aren't working. Special teams we've already covered. There are no changes there. If you get into, and again, now we can sort of you can make that transition to, well, we are officially out of the playoffs. Ream Morris, our producer, Damian Dede Lewis, brought this up earlier. He's had like this Zen-like kind of coolness with him for the most part, even during the losing streak. And then we were just talking off the air. Are we such a strange situation with the quarterback position in flux that maybe Raheem Morris is back here and Arthur Blank and Rich McKay will mandate you bring in a new offensive coordinator?
Think about what you just said about Florida State, right? It's not a good time to be in the market for a coach.
Right.
Florida State might not have the money for the buyout. You got all these – you have a lot, for the Falcons, you got a lot of contracts in flux. Like,
correct.
Kyle Pitts back? What do you do with Kirk Cousins' contract? Tyler Allgeier is another one. Caden Ellis. I mean, I can go up and down the list. Like, you have this moment where you feel like you could be in between. But the quarterback position so far up in the air, Mike, I don't know that if you were to move on from Raheem, who Arthur's calling and going, hey, who would like to take this job? I don't know that you can attract the candidate you think you're going to attract.
Right.
I don't know that in this Falcons fans hate to hear this. I don't know if this is like that job that it brings in the top
well,
candidates.
That's what
I think it's even worse now.
That's what I was saying to my FSU brothers. I was like, man, this ain't the year to be looking for a coach. Unless you want to go try, you want to throw the Hail Mary and bring back a guy like Jimbo Fisher. And then, of course, that's not tenable to a lot of alum. Getting back to the Falcons, that's the thing. I mean, I do two ways to look at it. I would disagree with you in the sense that there's only 32 of these jobs and a guy believes in his stuff. And, in hindsight, who should we have hired back then? Well, I would say McDonald in Seattle. You just saw up close and personal the kind of things he's built and the structure of what he's working with out there. Now,
I agree with you. In hindsight, you're spot on.
Right.
I think
in
hindsight.
We didn't know. The average Falcon fan didn't know Mike McDonald from a hole in the wall.
Correct.
You did know Raheem Morris and you knew his resume. I wanted Harbaugh, but a lot of folks felt that was an impossibility.
I think it was an impossibility, and I'll go even further than that. I don't think Mike Vrabel was ever coming here. I just don't. And I think that goes back to the point is like how attractive is the job. I think that there are certain guys that have had success as a head coach in the past that look at the landscape and look at the scenarios and go, hey, I may or may not want to go there. I don't think Harbaugh was ever coming here, and I don't think Vrabel was ever coming here.
Right. And when you look at when Raheem gets the second chance, and that's why the stories that we've had, and I've talked about it from, whether we're talking and debating this with Dave Archer or Bo on the other day's show, you hear what Kurt Warner says. Kurt Warner goes, it's like there's a disconnect with the run game and the pass game. It's too predictable. Orlovsky talked about that. And it's not that we hate the pistol. It's just it's never like being used in the proper context, I guess.
Well, and
for lack of a better word.
Look, let me try to explain this from an X's and O's standpoint. Is the pistol is utilized so that the handoff can go at the right place on wide zone. Right, if you put shotgun, you are putting the running back behind the right tackle to hand off on a wide zone going left. Can't do that on wide zone because the backside all of a sudden can catch up to the running back and make the play in the backfield. The bootleg doesn't come into play and all that stuff. So then you go to pistol. That's kind of how the pistol came into this offense as an ability to run wide zone, but also not be under center and do some of the things you need to. When Kirk's coming off the Achilles, he can't move as much, can't get to the handoff point. That's it. You even saw Kirk last week. I don't know if you noticed this. He's under center, and he turns around, and the play is coming right down to the A-gap, and Kirk tosses it to Bijan straight backwards as Bijan's running at him. And that's exactly what that is. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of caveat to it, but you're right, and I've said this a million times for anybody that listens to the Morning Shift. It's two different playbooks. You have the run game playbook and the passing game playbook, and for whatever reason in the last 2 years, they have not been married together. Only recently, and I'll give Zach credit because I'm hard on him, but only in the last 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, have I felt like that started to happen. Kirk going back under center, a little bit of play action, a little bit of wide zone from under center. It's starting to happen here and there, but it's been bad to watch for the most part.
And when Penix was struggling, that's when all this goes back down to, man, you needed a veteran play caller. Maybe, it wouldn't have been sexy. Like when Matt Ryan was here, we had Mike Mularkey. It wasn't sexy.
No.
It was 3 yards in a cloud
Love
of dust.
Mules, man.
But you take the
Good
pressure
dude.
Off the young quarterback. And it just seems like it's never passed the eye test. And I've heard, Breeze talk about it when he had the national broadcast. We've already mentioned, Kurt Warner's opinions on this. I heard you talking about it. And then today, talking with the media, Zach Robinson goes, yeah, it's weird, man. Third downs, we're really not good at third down. I was in charge of the passing game on third down with the Rams. It's like, I don't know if that's good or bad. because it kind of further exacerbates everything we're just talking about. There's a disconnect in what we're trying to do. You really don't understand some aspects of the run game. That's what it looks like to the casual fan, let alone defensive coordinators who are scheming against you.
Yeah, and it just blows my mind. You can't – and say what you want to, and I've had this conversation a million times before. Say what you want to about Arthur Smith. It was time for Arthur Smith to go. But the one thing I will always stand on and say that Arthur Smith had was a plan. The guy had – speaking of Mark Mularkey, Arthur Smith was that was his mentor, Mike Mularkey, right, up there in Tennessee in a lot of ways. So Arthur Smith had a plan. He just couldn't get the quarterback position right. All right. But his plan was always to have a mobile quarterback, a guy who you could run zone read with in the red zone and do some different things. And we all remember Desmond Ridder running at the pylon and fumbling a little bit early a couple times, but you know, doing it. And it could move around. And that was the game plan. He just never got the quarterback spot right. But we knew what the plan was. With this team, with this offense, I don't know. I don't know what the plan. Are we a pocket passing team? Are we throwing the ball 40 times a game? Are we running the ball 40 times a game? I'm not sure, and it's maddening.
If things don't go south with Cousins with the injury, a rookie offensive coordinator with a veteran quarterback, maybe you get by. A rookie offensive coordinator with a rookie quarterback seems like a recipe for disaster for all the things you just talked about. It is our man, Mike Johnson, filling in for Carl today here on Dukes of Bell Live at Ticketmaster Studios. The only other story as far as the strong arm story, we already talked about, you know, what's going on with Utah. That's a money thing. Again, may go over a lot of people's heads. Bad for college ball. Let me ask you about Bama, because you're a Bama guy. How does Bama rebound now? Because, man, Georgia really physically got after it. I know there was – Kirby talked about there was a chip on their shoulder and good reason for it. Georgia's defense has gotten exponentially better. What do you do against Venables, man? Because he really was – he's going to have a game plan for Alabama and Norman.
He just looks like he's got a big jaw. You know what I mean? Like just one of those guys that constantly looks like he's pretty deep.
Doesn't Venables always look like he's about to burst through the TV like a Kool-Aid man? Like he's spring-loaded.
Like Kramer coming in the door of Jerry saying, hey! Hey, Jerry. I think what I have to focus on as a Bama guy, and this goes always back to the root of this conversation, there's no Nick Sabans anymore. Kirby Smart's the closest thing we have to it, and he's done an incredible job. Kirby Smart's not going to tell us closest. So you have to almost look at Kalen DeBoer, and you have to kind of highlight the bright spots for Kalen DeBoer. He's a good coach in big games. He's shown the ability to navigate playoffs in his career. He's shown the ability to rise the occasion, at least this year, on the road, which he didn't do last year. And I trust him game plan-wise. As mad as I was about what the game plan was against Georgia last week, I do trust him. You also should get a little bit healthier at a couple of different places. You know, maybe Jam Miller is a part of that. Maybe Josh Cuevas, the tight end, can be a part of that. Maybe there's another couple of pieces. Ty Simpson's had some nagging injuries as well. And I think the other part of it, Mike, is yes, you lost to Oklahoma a month ago, but Ty Simpson was Ty Simpson in that game. Ty Simpson throws for 326. He throws a big pick, but you were able to run the ball a little bit. You were able to do some things. You just didn't win in the margins.
Ty didn't have a good first half. It's almost like he got it dialed in. And John Mateer has not been the same since he got hurt.
No.
And I think if you're Alabama, you pin your ears back and make them beat you. Go get him.
Oklahoma
stop the run,
had,
make Mateer beat you.
Oklahoma had right around 200 yards in that first matchup. I'd had to look it up. I don't have the box score now, but had right around 200 yards in that matchup. And so, yeah, I mean, I think Oklahoma beat you a little while ago. Obviously, you're going to their place where you got beat, you got whooped badly last year. But, you know, look, it's playoff time. They're all going to be tough games. So circle the wagons and try to get it done. I wouldn't say that I'm confident, Mike. I mean, that's another question for another day. But you got to take the good with the bad. And, you know, hopefully this DeBoer style kind of plays itself out and you can come back and win a big one.
I did, and Carl and I had a cool conversation with him, I think it was last month. He's an impressive guy to talk to. I mean, to come out what he had to deal with the Florida State loss and then get back on track.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be able to figure it out. But, I mean, that's Venables' defense with a couple of weeks to prepare. That's yikes.
Well, and here's what I'll say, and this goes back to, and I called him, I was joking last Friday, I called him Big Game DeBoer on the, you know, I was like, hey, Big Game DeBoer is always going to step up. But you go back to what he was at Washington in some of these games. Right, with you know, beat Steve Sarkisian a couple times, Dan Lanning. He has a knack for playing to getting his teams to play well. I don't know what that looks like inside the locker room. For us, it was Saban, you know, chewing everybody's butt and you know, getting us rowdy. For him, he called cool, calm, collected. You know, hey, we're going to go about our business this way. So I don't know what it is, but he's going to have his task ahead of him moving into next.
If it is chalk and Tulane got smoked by Ole Miss, I hate the fact that we get set up with a rematch. Look, that's the playoff committee. They've got to. Say enough with giving the little sisters of the poor a chance to sit at the big Thanksgiving table. I mean, Tulane, and with all due respect, JMU, I don't want to see it.
I know, and this stinks that this applies to Ole Miss too, but I don't think it feels weird that you have a couple of teams in whose coaches have left to take better jobs.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just
– you think of the two games, Tulane covers against Ole Miss as opposed to JMU against Oregon? Because of the
I don't know the lines. I'm trying to think what the lines are right now.
I know it's 17 and a half.
I think the two – I honestly, the first
Oregon,
time
– Is Oregon 17 and a half? Yeah, Oregon 17 and a half.
The first time Tulane played Ole Miss, I thought that Ole Miss should be on upset alert because I knew Tulane was a good football team. And they
That's right, Cha-Cha.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of which, that guy will probably be at
17
the game.
Even for Ole Miss? Seven, I had that right. And the Oregon, it was got to be even bigger.
Yeah, I would say that Tulane's going to put their best foot forward. And for both for Tulane, what do you have to lose by trying everything possible?
Right, 21 and a half.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're Tulane, I'm installing every freaking gadget play known to man going into this game. You have absolutely nothing to lose. Look, even if you make your coach mad, he's not going
to
be there either.
Yeah, we used to joke around with Arthur Smith, like, how about a flea flicker double reverse? Like, I'll get right on that.
Yeah,
you know, but no, we
put that in right now.
Everything's going to be out there. The other chance for Ohio State and Georgia, I think Georgia should have jumped to number two. You want to call that Big Ten bias with the guys in that committee room. But now Ohio State, Georgia, different venue. Won't be at Mercedes-Benz, which sucks. But one of the greatest games I've ever been to was that semifinal a couple years
There's
back.
There's no doubt about it. That was an incredible one. I always go back to the Baker-Mayfield-Oklahoma game.
Oh,
I was watching that game on my phone heading into the Superdome down in New Orleans because Bama was playing Clemson that night.
Right.
Kelly Bryant and Clemson Tigers that night. That was before the Trevor Lawrence era down there. But, yeah, I mean, I was watching that game on my phone. That was an incredible game. They've been in some good slobber knocker matchups over the years and have played some good ones. So I think Georgia ended up in a better bracket, with what they're facing, as opposed to being in the same bracket as Texas A&M and Miami, which they would have been if they were in that two hole. So we'll see how it all ends up, man. But there's some good matchups coming up. That's for sure. It's going to be a good weekend next weekend.
Cool beans. Thanks to our guest today. We talked to Matthew Bergeron. You heard Dave Archer, Raheem Morris. If you missed that, we'll replay it for you tomorrow. Greg Allman, not the Midnight Rider, the guy that writes for Fox. We'll talk NFL with him. That'll be a big shoe tomorrow for you. And the other thing we didn't really get into in depth because there's nothing to report. The Braves really haven't done anything in the winter meetings. Schwarber signs a $150 million deal to stick in Philly. Diaz leaves the Mets to go to the Dodgers. And we're waiting. Oh, this could be a developing story, as Carl says, as Day-Day's fast fingers are working on his phone.
Maybe just an ad read.
The Braves will pick ninth in the 2026, their highest selection in the draft since taking Shea Langeliers, ninth in 2019.
There you go.
And Walt Weiss did say he's open to moving Ronald Acuna back to the leadoff spot this year, so stay tuned with that.
You like that?
In the old days, the best guy batted fourth, but with the new metrics,
I don't know, man.
The problem is nobody on base for him to knock in anymore at the bottom of the lineup.
I can't remember the guy's name right now, but they did sign a new third base coach. I'm drawing a blank on his name. The Mets, they signed him over for the Mets. I'm really excited about him being added to the coaching staff. You look at the Mets, I think they were maybe fourth in the league last year in stolen bases.
That's a philosophy. You see if Walt Weiss wants to be more aggressive.
That's been one of the biggest gripes I had of the Brian Snicker era is we're not aggressive enough on the base pass. I think they can get that turned around, hopefully.
Tommy Watkins,
that's right. Yep. So
thank you.
I feel good about that, and hopefully them adding him to the coaching staff, you can change some things up, man. I don't know where the speed comes from. Maybe it's Michael Harris in the second half.
Everybody thought, with the base the size of pizza boxes, it'd be more SBs. Ain't really happening, man. I know there's only a few teams taking advantage of it.
Listen, we got to the end of the year last year, and Ronald Acuna, who played 6 weeks, was still leading the team and still in bases.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just hopefully we can get something turned around.
All right, you had fun? Did it drive you too crazy?
Are you going to invite me back?
Yes.
Is that what you're doing? Okay,
Hump
perfect.
Day edition. Christmas, a very special 99 Christmas party. You're not invited to the Christmas party, but we'll be there. But me and Gordon will have our two drink tickets. We'll be ready to get crazy.
Be a scavenger hunt.
Let our hair go down, I guess I should say. All right, this is where you get to finalize the program with a concise thought about the day in sport. We call it clear your throat.
Is that what we're doing right now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Here is Mike Johnson's concise thought.
My concise thought is Raheem Morris needs to get back at it when it comes to the special teams, man. He had answers that weren't really answers, and I don't know what those answers are supposed to be. But we didn't get very far, did we?
Day-Day brought this up, and I give credit, because he was on this actually about 3 weeks ago before I went to Germany, and his spidey sense says, Raheem's got this piece about him. And every once in a while he'll break my balls on stuff, but still, and I break his balls, but, there's like this inner peace. Mike has talked about it today, but knowing where we are, if I'm Arthur Blank, you're going to get a new special teams coach. You got to get rid of your offensive coordinator. But I'm starting to come around to people who are saying Raheem Morris may be back next year. I know some Falcon fans might have some strong opinions on that. We'll get into it tomorrow. Have a great evening. Another part of the show. I'll ask you a fun thing, and then at the end it'll be kind of a wisecrack. If you love the show, you say, tell your friends. So if you love the show.
Tell your friends.
If you don't.
Don't tell your friends.
Alabama education right there.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.